The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Shalom Uvracha. So we started talking about bitachon for mitzvahs. I said, some people say, I'm just going to Happy Tochen Hashem to bring me the mitzvahs or to tell me what to do. Until he tells me what to do, I just status quo. So he says that that's obviously foolish because we know that Hashem set up the world, that we have the Bechira. Hakol b'nei shemayim chutzim yir shemayim. Hashem wants us to choose the right behavior and not just to wait around for some divine inspiration to get it. It's like a person was given a tremendous gift. And the gift was an instruction book how to use it. And with those instructions, he did tremendous toilets out of the book. But the foolish person is better. Instead of looking at the book for the instructions, he says, I'm just going to wait around for somebody to give me instructions how to use it, and he forgets to use it. He doesn't realize it. Just open up your eyes. It's in front of your eyes, all the instructions. And once you look at it, you have everything. It's the same thing over here. Hashem gave us instruction book, how to go through life. We have the Torah Kedusha that gives us exact information, how to behave and what act to do that bring us to our shleimus, bring us to our goal in life, to the greatness of Klal Yisrael. A person says, no, I'm not going to bother looking at it, I'm not going to bother asking it. Just wait for divine inspirations, and he missed the whole point of his creation. So when it comes to mitzvahs, like we said, the part that's up to me and totally up to me is the decision to find out what is the right thing to do. Then the second decision, once I found out what the right thing to do is to make up my mind that I want to do it. I'll do everything I can to do it. The third stage, to make it happen, that very often is not 100% in our hands. And for that, we do need bitachon. Kamuvan, something is totally in our hands, it's not shy after bitachon either. That we have to do as best as we can. Look at a Gemara and expect the Gemara start to teach me itself. I have to learn it. Can't stand the Shemone Esrei and expect suddenly the Tefillah come to my head. I have to read the words. And it's a very good etza to read the words in Shemone Esrei. It helps you focus better. I heard a Maisa of a Manchester Rosh Hashiva Segel, a big tzaddik. Somebody wanted him to daven for a chayla, so he wrote in the siddur of this tzaddik, he wrote the name of the chayla by the bracha of the Feinu. And after a few days, the person felt uncomfortable. You know, he didn't ask permission to put it in the sefer, the siddur. So yes, he told the Rosh Yeshiva, I feel bad I wrote this name in the siddur. I hope I didn't distract you, and I hope you don't, upset about it. Rosh Yeshiva told him, I never noticed it. Why? Because when I daven, I just look at the words that are printed in the siddur. Anything else, I don't look at. I'm focused. So it's from the Tzadikei Hador, maybe deep Tzadik Hador, and he davened straight out of the siddur to the point that he was focused. He didn't let his eyes go anywhere other than the text itself. So we don't have to be embarrassed to look into a siddur. Anything we do that helps us, that's part of our status. I remember my Rebbe of Nisman Karel, Zecharenu Levracha. There were times when he was already in his 80s, he would read the Siddur with his finger inside, like a child in Seder. I guess he felt he wanted that extra chizik to make sure he's concentrating on every word. And that was one of the techniques he would use. Put your finger inside and go word by word. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. It's all about, am I doing my maximum? I'm really trying to make it work. That's our bechir, to be able to do our maximum. Like we said, there's certain mitzvahs that you're not necessarily you can get them. A person wants an esrog, and if the place is no esrog, he can't get it. But even that, that we have to do our shtablis also maximum to try to get it. And together with that, the Mitzvah to Hashem, I should be able to get something. That was fine. You know, the famous Meisav.
Kol Halashon.
Esrog, there's about 10 versions of it, by 10 different people. But the way the Biskarov would say it over was, there's a woman, that was an elderly woman, and she refused to move out of her apartment. And her son lived in a different village. And the son wanted to take care of his mother, but he couldn't move to her village. He asked her to move to his village. The mother was adamant she can't move out of her old neighborhood. And the son was frustrated that he couldn't move to her neighborhood, and he wants to help her. So they went to the Briskerov. Or maybe the Briskerov said out a story. They went to some other Rav who said a story. It doesn't make a difference. I want to hear what's the story. So the woman told him like this. My husband and I were poor all our lives. And we always had a tremendous desire to get a beautiful esrog. There were very few esrogim around in Europe in those days. And we saved money for years. Finally came to the esrog merchant. And he poured it all on the table, counted everything up, and he said, my dear friend, you have a good will, but it's nowhere near the price of a, you know, super mahudra esrog. And then the husband thought to himself, we were so much energy for this mitzvah. We so much wanted. I'm willing to do everything. I'm going to sell my house. And basically, that's what they did. They sold their house, and they brought all the money in, and that year they got the most beautiful esrog in town. Everybody heard about it and was excited about it. Just happy for them. Anyway, one of the neighbors came in. I said, please, told the wife, please let me look at the esrog. And she said, no, it's so delicate. I'm afraid to let you touch it. Who knows what can happen to it? He didn't stop nudging her until she finally gave in and let this person hold the esrog. And as he's holding it, suddenly drops out of his hand and the piton breaks. And she faints in horror. What's she going to tell her husband? He gave the whole life, the whole house away for this, and now it's getting to be used. Anyway, so she got back to herself and went to her husband and told him, you know, some terrible thing happened. Please don't get upset. Anyway, she told it to him, and he didn't get upset at all. He was calm. And then she asked him, how do you remain calm? You know, we sold the whole house for this, and this guy dropped your esrog. And we can't even count the mitzvah now. And he answered that, what did we do? We did our maximum to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His mitzvahs are the most important things in our life. We gave up everything we had for this mitzvah. And that remains. No one can take that away. And that's what Hashem wants. If we're able to mekayim the mitzvah or not, that was hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But hashgacha from Hashemayim was that we're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah by shaking the esrog with the lulav. But the sar of showing the importance and the love of the mitzvah, the closeness to Hashem, that we have. And what could I do now? I'm going to get upset? That's for sure not what Hashem wants me to do now. That'll just take away from the beauty of this mitzvah. And therefore I decided we'll accept it. But Abba, this is something that happened, and yeah. Anyway, that was the story she said. Such a powerful story for all of us. We sometimes get upset on such trivial, silly things. Think twice, you know. You have the opportunity to show Hashem how much you love Hashem, how much you're willing to accept the way He sets up things for us without getting upset, instead of getting upset and finding people to blame for what kind of things that you're not happy with. No, it's hashgacha. We do our things, and when it happens, happens. We can prevent things, we prevent them, but if it happens, it happens. Two things away that we give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So she told him, that the reason why I can't move out of this neighborhood is because what gives me my whole chiyus in life is I walk back, I live in the neighborhood where I sold that house, and I walk past that house, and it brings me such tremendous simcha, reminds me of the tremendous love for Hashem and his mitzvahs that we displayed by the fact that we sold our house. And when the Rav heard this, he told his son, no, you can't have your mother move away from her town. You have to find some other solution. So much embedded in this beautiful story. And that's the reality of life. This woman could have been upset for her whole life at the person who threw it on the floor. And she could have not wanted to look at that house that she had to sell for this broken Israel. But she had it right. She realized that life is about relationships, relations with Hashem, relations with her husband and wife, relations with the neighbors. And everything is there, so we should do it all the best. That's what Klal Yisrael is all about. We all have to elevate ourselves to show how much we feel part of these relationships, these connections between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And if we do that, then everything will be Mesamechas. Even though situations didn't work out the way we want, we know we did it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we did it in the right fashion. And that shows how exalted and great we are. May we be zeichah to live life in such a beautiful fashion. Always thinking of how can I show Hashem how close I am to Him, how much I can show those around us, how close we are. We do this in the name of Hashem. We'll be Makav, Gula, and Heavy, Amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.